Happy 40th birthday, Andrea. I can see you're pleased.
Not.
To be the big 4-0. Man, I was talking to my mom the other day, and we were talking about some events, like when my family moved out of the country. She was in her 30s.
Was she? No.
Yes.
That's possible.
She's 63, and that was 24 years ago.
Yikes.
Isn't it crazy how
our perception of 40 when you're there is different than the perception of 40 when you're younger?
100%. I mean, my mom seemed old when we moved.
I know. I think our kids probably look at us as old.
Well, you're old. I mean, you're 40. So
your time's coming in like 15 days, less than that.
Which makes me 39. So today we're going to be talking as a 40-year-old and a 39-year-old. But what we want to do today is just talk a little bit about what have we learned. We're in this going to be kind of top five style. What have we learned over these last 40 years?
Right. Well, let's get into that.
Before we get into today's episode, just wanted to remind you that in the description of the video below, we put links to all of our social media accounts.
You can always reach us with questions or comments about this episode at marriagebydesignpodcast@gmail.com.
And finally, if you want to support us financially, there is a link to be able to do so at the end of each of the descriptions of our videos. Now, let's get back to the show. Morning, everybody. My name is Nathan Warnock.
I'm Andrew Warnock, and you've joined us for Marriage by Design. This is a time where we get to talk to you about God's design for marriage, what the Bible has to say about that, and how we live that out practically, but we're departing from that a little bit this time.
Yeah, a little bit.
Sometimes we do these top fives where we take a topic and do a top five. I don't know Nathan's list, and he doesn't know mine, so you get to see this. Our reactions are
genuine.
They're live when we're taping it.
Right.
So right. We are doing a top five lessons that we've learned as 40-year-olds. Although Nathan will probably tell you this entire episode, he's not 40 yet, but he will be.
A really good point, babe. You robbed the cradle, as they say.
Yes, really robbed the cradle. Less than 2 months, but.
Right. That's right. No, so babe, we always start by saying what were some of the parameters. So did you have like parameters to how you thought about this, or maybe just give the folks an idea of like, because obviously we have learned, I'm guessing have learned way more than five things.
Of course.
I just tried to think of
top five things that I've learned.
So just the
by age 40, you know, things that I wouldn't have necessarily known at age 20 or didn't think was important. And it'll be really interesting if I ever look back on this when I'm 80, Lord willing. And I'll probably laugh at my list and be like, ha, I thought those were the important lessons
of
life.
Maybe we ought to do one of these every 10 years and see how they change. That would be kind of interesting.
Yeah, because definitely the things, you know, I look back 20 years ago and the things that I thought were important then are like not to me anymore.
Sure. Yep.
And you change so much. You change so much through the years. We are not the person that we were the people that we were when we got married. And
well, thank goodness for that.
You know, in 10, 20 years, I'm sure we'll look back on our 40s and be like, man, I'm not that person anymore. So
yeah, I think that's probably true.
So
good.
People who are in a different spot in life than us may laugh at our top five and be like, that doesn't matter at all. I don't know.
Yeah. So I specifically, with my list, I specifically thought about it through the lens of what are the top five things I wish I could have imparted to myself at 20.
Mm.
Like, you know, they're like really cool things I've learned in my life, like about the Nephilim and,
oh my gosh,
you know, spiritual truths and how to study the Bible and you know, these kinds of things that we talk about on our channel that are really important things. I didn't put those on my list. I tried to make my list more like, and really with the exception of one, everything on my list are things that I screwed up big time. Coming up through the years. And I wish I could go back to my 20-year-old self and impart this knowledge on that person.
So,
the point of this being, you know, the those that are watching this video at home who are younger than us, which is probably an increasing number based on the demographics I see that watch our videos, you know, please listen to these and take them to heart, because...
that's why we're doing them.
Yeah. I mean, I would have saved myself a lot of hurt had I taken some of these a little more seriously.
So do you have any, we'll start with, do you have any honorable mentions?
I know you do have one.
I could not keep it to five.
I know. And I may think of one while you go, but feel free to give me your, feel free to give me your honorable mention, and I'll,
okay.
Think about what, if I had any.
This one's going to make you laugh maybe, but
probably.
My honorable mention is being a cheapskate doesn't always pay off.
Hey, that's a good one.
So I am a real penny pincher at heart. I am my father's daughter. And I just like to not spend a lot of money. And but I've learned over the years that there are definitely times that being cheap is not worthwhile. And that lesson I started to learn for sure in my 20s. You know, I think the first thing I bought that was really more expensive than its counterparts was our Dyson vacuum when we were young-ish. I don't know, 25, 26. And we had gone through so many vacuums, and I finally was like, we're going to buy a good one. And we still have it. I mean, we've probably had it for 15 years.
I'll bet, at least.
And that was my first big lesson in, like, sometimes paying more for things. Quality and paying a little bit more is better than pinching pennies a lot of time. I mean, for some things, so.
That's a good call. I think I'll piggyback off of that a little bit, and hopefully I'm not stealing one from your actual list, because I know this is one you and I've talked about in the past. We all want to be good stewards of our money, and sometimes there are things you want to do, maybe you and your spouse or you and your family, and it's really easy for us to go, well, we're not going to do those things now.
Mm-hmm.
We'll save our money and we'll work really hard and we'll do those things when we reach X age. There's a real potential danger to that, in that you never reach X age. Because of tragedy, because of illness, because of
It's such a whatever. Hard balance.
Sure. Yeah. Because we can't. I mean, there's a lot of things you and I would love to do, and, you know, we would absolutely be broke if we took this to the nth degree, where we just went, well, let's just go do all the things because I could get cancer any moment and die, or I could get in a car accident and die, or you could. So yes, there is a balance, but particularly in, I give this advice in Christian circles quite a bit, because we're all Dave Ramsey'd up in the 2024 age within the church. And that's all good. You're not necessarily going to feel amazing about having the house paid off if you and your spouse never got to take that trip to Crater Lake that you really wanted to take, and now he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, within reason, you know, and really we've suggested this as date ideas in the past, like, put these trips together, right? Price them out, think of, and, you know, then set them as goals in your life. Andrew and I, just when we were on vacation this last week, we looked at some different, you know, what would it be like to take a passenger train the entire distance of the left coast? Like, you know, what would that look like? And, you know, what would it cost? And now we kind of know. So anyway, there's, you know, some of these things are good to do. So that'd be my honorable mention. You seem to be looking for something.
There's a head missing from one of our figures.
Yes, that's if you're watching this on video, you can see like
that's not like a
this is a mother holding like a toddler age child, but the toddler age child
is missing its head.
Bummer, dude.
Anyway, sorry, we should probably take that down.
So, all right, so those are the honorable mentions. So now let's dive into it with our number five.
Number five.
I'll go first.
All right.
My number five is sleep is important. So, you know, when you're younger, you can really cheat sleep a lot of times and think like, oh, I got so much time to do what I want or to be productive or whatever that is. And I think as you get older, that gets harder. But I've also learned the importance of sleep and that that really changes my ability to function well and to have better patience and deeper thought processes. And so I think that that's better for the people around me too. So I'd really try to be better about prioritizing sleep in my 40s than I used to be, before now.
Yeah, kids, so good sleep.
I know. But you know, there's a lot of research out there that shows that's how important sleep is.
Sure.
And, so I really have tried to start prioritizing that because I think it's helpful, not just for me, but for the people around me.
I mean, spoken like someone that's 40. Now I get to jump in and be the cool 39-year-old hip with the kids. So that is a good one. the health benefits of sleep are numerous. My number five can be summed up by saying this. What you achieve is way less important than who you become. And so I'm saying this sort of in a couple of specific contexts. When I originally wrote this down, I wrote down everything you really need to know you learn in kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was like a funny poem from when we were kids.
Right.
But and I went back and read it as I was thinking about these, and I thought, you know what? That's really not that far off. You know, we are in a society obsessed with achievement, right? Did you go to college? I mean, how many businesses are like, can't work here if you didn't go to college? And then you look at the job and you're like, my 13-year-old could do that job pretty effectively if you taught him your systems, right? We've created and bought all of these wonderful systems as businesses that really remove the need for things like huge academic achievement. And I'm saying that if you've never watched this before, I'm saying this as someone who was in the top 5% of his class getting an accounting degree in college, and then the top 5% of his class getting a law degree after that. And I'm telling you, academic achievement doesn't matter nearly as much as you think it does. If you're watching this as someone who's younger. Sports achievement, athletic achievement does not matter nearly as much as you think it does right now. Parents, athletic achievement in your kids does not matter nearly as much as you think it does right now. Achievements just simply don't matter as much as you think they do. And yet we spend so much of our time chasing achievements instead of really thinking about who am I becoming as a person? Who am I raising my children up as people? Because the reality of the matter is that stuff they achieve that seems so important in the moment is going to mean almost nothing to them in their long-term lives. For me, I spent 7 years in school, worked really hard, accomplished a whole bunch of things. Absolutely not a single day of which I would have needed to do what I'm doing now, because I have a boss that's training me up and my dad, and I have a very, you know, I'm invested in what we're doing, right? I didn't need tons of schooling for that, right? And more businesses are that way. So what you accomplish, much less important than who you become.
It's funny you say that, because just recently, so we homeschool our kids, and I was talking to a friend about you know, about the some stresses of homeschooling, and that I can get really focused on like what we need to get done, and that in my head can rank supreme over, and that really what needs to be the priority is character development.
Yep.
And so when That's we exactly have a character right. issue, we need to stop all things, deal well with the character issue, take the time, teach, learn, talk, work through, whatever.
Yep.
And that if we don't get to all the check boxes, but we've dealt well with a character issue, or we've even celebrated a character success, that should rank supreme over our schoolwork.
Right.
That's it's hard to like do that in practice, but it's totally what you're saying. You know, the schooling stuff, the learning things is important, but character development is, and this is for people in kindergarten all the way through life.
Yep. Yeah. I mean,
character is always more important than our checklists.
And it matters with regards to marriage. I mean, you know, when we get in a relationship and we get into marriage, we can get so wrapped up in the next thing, right? Our next anniversary. When are we going to buy a house? When are we going to get that job promotion? When are we going to figure out our intimacy issues? And we get so involved in the stuff that we never stop to go, who are we as a couple? Who do we want to be? And really start at a young age developing that.
Yeah.
Because marriage is super hard. And if you don't take the time to be focused on that when you're young married, life will force you to take time on it when you're old married to do it. And it's like everything else in life, it's way harder when you're old married than when you're young married.
Number four.
So my number four is do hard things. I think so often in my life, I was trying to avoid hard things and trying to find the easy way or a way to just slip out of doing hard things. And I've learned now that really life is about doing hard things. And it kind of weaves into what we were talking about before, character development.
Yep.
That the hard things develop character. And oftentimes the Lord calls us to hard things. And yep. So, you know, embracing that life is hard work. And when we're done with the hard work, our reward is more hard work. And so really trying to lean into, I'm going to do hard things. And what can I learn from this? How can I develop from this? How do I need to lean in more towards the Lord on this or improve my relationships with this? But really embracing the doing hard things.
Yeah.
That's my number four.
That's a great one. Yeah, that's really good. My number four is life is way shorter than you think. And we kind of talked about this in our opening as we sort of reflected on how quickly the years go. But one of the biggest lies that is really dangerous, I think, in human existence is that we have all kinds of time. And, you know, we talked about it with regards to like the finances of waiting on trips and doing all those things and then running out of time because you didn't know you had such a little bit of time. But even if you live a full life, you know, we're 40 this year and both you and I talk about, man, I remember being a kid like it was last week.
Right.
And man, the trap we fall into is I have in my mind the man I want to be, right? Which for me lines up with the man I know God calls me to be based on his word. The trap is to go, man, I got all kinds of time to become that guy. Like, yeah, I probably should kick that porn habit. Yeah, I probably should be a little more careful with how much I'm drinking. Yeah, I should probably think about taking my body a little more seriously as far as health-wise. But I got all kinds of time. Yeah. Right? I mean, I'm young. And, you know, the problem is, at this point, you know, we're turning 40. We're not young. But I feel young.
Yeah, and I think in our heads, we're always way younger than we actually are.
And when we're 50, I'll bet I feel young.
Mm-hmm.
And 60 and 70 and 80. And probably the day before I pass away, I'm going to be going, I can't believe
that
I'm dying this young.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I get a big, long life.
Yep.
And so my encouragement to those watching this is life is shorter than you think.
Yeah.
So if you have a sin issue that you're dealing with and you're like, yeah, I know I should be dealing with that, but I've got time to do it. Don't do it right now. Deal with that right now. Confess that sin right now. Right. If you feel like, man, my marriage isn't where it really ought to be, but every excuse, we've got young kids, we're working hard on our careers, we've got this and that, we'll get to that. No, do it right now. Because life goes faster than you think. And man, if we're not really careful, life will pass you by. Mm. And there are so many hurting people who didn't recognize this truth. And now they're older people and they realize my window for actually getting this thing accomplished has passed me by.
Mm.
And I can't imagine the shame and bitterness getting to that point. So deal with those things now. Be the man you want to be now. Be the woman you want to be now. That is my number four. Life is way shorter than you think.
Number three.
Okay, my number three is my emotions can sometimes be a big fat liar. So,
good one.
When I'm feeling stress or anxiety or impatience or fear or hopelessness or whatever, sometimes those emotions are completely lying to me, and the reaction that I want to have towards those emotions is out of stress, fear, whatever.
Mm.
And there's really, if I take a minute and think about the situation, is there really anything to feel stressed about? Like, an easy one would be getting to church on time. So during this last few months, I've had to get the kids ready myself to go to church without Nathan. And if anybody has young kids, you know, for whatever reason, Sunday mornings are really, really difficult to get the kids going and out the door and to church on time. And I like to be to places on time. And it just seems like it's always a hot mess. And if I am so... in my natural state, I'm like stressed and impatient and full of anxiety about, oh my gosh, we should have gotten in the car 5 minutes ago or 10 minutes ago when we're still behind, and, you know, getting frustrated with the kids. And if I stop and think, what's the harm if we're 5 or 10 minutes late? I don't want to be. We should be teaching our kids to be on time. But is it really worth treating my kids this way or me feeling this way just so that we're on time, you know? So a lot of times my emotions can lie to me, or feeling hopeless about a situation that's not hopeless. And just recognizing that. And so a lot of times I've found that those with negative emotions, there's reasons I feel those, and that needs to be dealt with. But my emotions are trying to get me to do something that's not necessary. And if I can just step back and take some time and think, is this really, you know, is this really as big of a deal as I'm making it?
Mm.
So that's a big lesson that I'm still learning, but one that I've started to recognize.
It's a good one, babe. Great. Okay. So my number three is one that probably from a marriage standpoint, and probably from a family standpoint, I think results in more destruction of marriage, in more affairs, in more in intimacy lacking relationships, really results in the death of, I think, more relationships than probably anything else. My number three is extend forgiveness completely and constantly. The reality of the matter is there are going to be people around you that wrong you almost all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's the reality of a sinful world. It's certainly the reality of a situation where you have two different people living in the same home together, trying to accomplish similar things, but coming at it from two different perspectives. And there is just going to be constant friction and wrongful behavior, sometimes just misunderstanding. And the question we have to answer for ourselves is, what are we going to do about it? And there's just simply nothing more destructive than unforgiveness in an individual's heart. Forgiveness is something that we could talk about and have talked about on this channel for a really long time, because forgiveness is a difficult thing to understand. It's difficult to understand the type of forgiveness that we're called to extend as believers. It's difficult for us to accept that. And the reason for all of that is because we can't do it as humans, which is the really difficult part, is we can only really do this in reliance upon the Lord, which means there's a faith aspect to this that comes along with it. But man, I look back over a lot of the worst decisions that I made in my life, and there was in every one of them an element of not being willing to forgive someone for something that I perceived they were doing that was wrong.
Mm.
And because of that, Satan used that as a foothold to justify me doing all kinds of things that I shouldn't have been doing.
Mm.
Or withholding tenderness or love or, you know, whatever that I shouldn't have been withholding. And so my pleading to you that are listening to this or you that are watching this is, get really serious about figuring out, what does forgiveness mean? What does the Bible say about forgiveness? And what does that actually look like? And then be constantly vigilant about proactively forgiving people that wrong you. Just really living with your heart in your hands before the Lord, to point out, man, where are areas where I've said I've forgiven someone, but I haven't, or I forgave them for a time and now I've picked that offense back up. But man, get so serious about this forgiveness issue, because it's one of the primary directives we're given by the Lord to forgive. And it's also, I think, one of the hardest things that human beings have to do. And we've certainly walked down that road.
Yeah.
It's been a struggle in that area. So I would just encourage you, get serious about forgiving, extend forgiveness completely and constantly. That's my number three.
Mm. Number two.
Okay. So my number two is that success at 40 is the way I see success in my life at 40 is very different than I would have measured it at 20. So when I was 20 or 30 or whatever, and looked to 40 and thought, this is what success looks like, first of all, I'm not there. And second of all, I don't think that's success anymore, you know? So what I mean by that is, like, I see success as, it's a huge success, I guess. That's kind of a weird thing to me, that we are able to have 5 children and homeschool them, and that I'm able to stay home with them, and that we have really a really rich friend group, and that we invest in our relationship and in people, and we see ourselves as works in progress all the time, and are constantly trying to improve on things, and that all makes us sound really great. But we just realize that we're constantly missing the mark, and so trying to work towards that and do hard things. And I think, you know, a long time ago we were both trying to skirt around hard things. And so anyway, I see success at 40 as completely different than I would have in the past. And I'm fine with not arriving at where I thought I should be at 40, because that was so much of what I thought previously was more like material things.
Yeah, it's good. When you first said that, I thought you were going to say success at 40 is getting up out of a chair without going, ugh.
Oh, come on. That's easy.
We're not that old.
No. Although. 50.
That'll be success at 50.
A few years ago, I was getting up off the floor and I grunted and I was like, that's ridiculous. I'm not doing that. So I got back on the floor and got up without grunting because really I was like, funny. I'm too young to grunt.
Yeah, it's, I thought of that story. That's why I said that. That's funny. Great. That's a good one. Okay, my number two is your life isn't yours. And this is something that we talk about quite a bit on this channel recently. But you said this just a minute ago, and I thought it was really good about, you know, this makes us sound really sweet, you know, and the things that we're trying to accomplish now. But the thing that, you know, someone listening to this maybe would be able to put together in their mind, and it's something that I struggle with a lot, is all those things you said that we're now looking at successful at 40 really should have been things we were looking at as successful at 25.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that we're doing them now is great, but that's not sweet. That's what we call better late than never.
Right.
You know, a lot of these things that we're focusing on now, yeah, it's great that we're doing it at 40 and not 60, but not great that we're doing it at 40, not 25.
Sure.
And so as you're watching this, I mean, we're sharing these, again, not to say Nathan and Andrew are sweet, but really to say there's a lot of these life lessons that that we probably should have known.
Right. I mean, that's totally.
And we didn't because we were mature and we're concerning ourselves with things we thought were important at the time. And a big one for me is, This me thing. I mean, just a week ago, we talked about this exact topic of things that will destroy your marriage is you, right? This me mentality. And man, I think it's one of the simplest things that everyone who has an understanding of the Bible goes, yeah, my life belongs to the Lord. And then almost all of us go on to try and direct our own lives immediately after saying, well, it's not my life. It's sure. God's life. And then we go on to do everything. We just want to try and wrestle through it on our own. And man, my prayer at 40, well, 39, my prayer at 39 is, Lord, give me through your Spirit a better understanding of what it means that you are Lord, which means master. That's what that word means. Like, what does that mean that my life isn't mine? And you know, that there's at some point we just have to recognize, and this is something even the ancients understood. Like, if I were to ask you, person who's listening to this, hey, how did you get here? Like, yes, there could be some birds and bees conversation. Like, I understand that. But at the end of the day, if I was like, well, how'd you get here? You'd go, if you're being honest, well, I mean, we didn't do anything. It's not like I was in a pool of people trying out to be in this body and I won the tryout.
Well, kind of.
I'm okay. That's the birds and the bees part. You know, God just said, here, you're here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we all have this innate understanding that when we create something, we have dominion over that something. Right. If I created a robot and I turned it on and the robot went, screw you, bro, I'm going to do my own thing, there'd be a part of us that'd be like, well, then I'm going to shut you down and start over because I made you. And that God made you. So, you know, for us, my life's not, it's not mine. It belongs to someone else because I didn't make it. Right. I'm here. And for all of us, the question is why? Like, what am I here to do? And this ties into my number one, which I'm not going to spoil just yet. But the number two piece of this is that this idea that my life is not mine is all encompassing. And it should impact how I think about my marriage. It should impact how I think about my job, how I think about raising my kids, how I think about my habits, how I think about my priorities. Because at the end of the day, there's a constant knock in our life. And that knock is, it's about you. It's yours. This is your thing. You were put here for a reason. What's your purpose? And it becomes about the person. And that will absolutely wreak havoc in every area of your life because it's not about you. You didn't do anything to get here. You just are the beneficiary of someone greater than you that decided you needed to be here. And so the question for us is, can I really turn my life completely over to the one to whom it really belongs? And man, I wish I could go back and hit that into the head of 20-year-old Nathan with a mallet. My life isn't mine. It's the Lord's.
And finally, number one.
All right, so my number one lesson at 40 years old is that experiences and people trump things. So this is more my personality anyway, but I learned this becomes more and more of a thing every year that passes by, is that I would so much rather spend my time and my money, Nathan's money, on experiences, on time with people.
Yep, me too.
And developing relationship and all that, than on things. And
it's great.
And that, you know, there was, so I visited my aunt and uncle in Colorado, what we all did this last weekend, and it was a really great time. And my aunt has this really pretty wood clock that she and my uncle got many years ago on their honeymoon, I think. Anyway, she's had it for a long time and it's in their entryway. It's really beautiful. And one of our children knocked it over and, you know, there's a big crash and we all went running and saw what happened. And her reaction was, you know, some disappointment, but she was so gracious towards my child. Yep, she was like, oh, I know it was an accident and we can fix it and it's okay. And, you know, it's more important that you're okay. And people say that, right? But she genuinely meant it. Yep. And, you know, it was such a great reminder to me that it's true. Like, is there anything that I have that's more important than a person and a person knowing that they're valued more than the thing? And that's what happened in the moment, is that my child, who had broken the clock, which thankfully I think can be fixed, but that I'm walking away from that, my child knew that he was more valuable than that really, really the expensive and
sentimental
item.
Right.
And
yeah, that's a good one.
And it was really, really great to see that, you know, and have a reminder of that. But yeah, experiences, people are always more important than things. And that's where I want to spend my time and my money, is with things that matter.
That's really great. That's a good one. All right, my number one is, if you want to live a successful life, and it doesn't matter how you define success, you must be intentional. We talk about being intentional a lot on this channel because one thing that I don't think we understand when we're young is that the natural order of things is to disrepair not to repair, right? We sort of learn this when we learn, you know, physics and the laws and all this kind of stuff, that then things tend towards disorder, mm-hmm. not towards order. Mm-hmm. And then we go, well, but probably not in private life situations. Like, that's not just a physics rule,
mm-hmm.
or chemistry. I don't even remember which it is. That's not just a science rule. That's a life rule. Your relationship is headed towards chaos, not order, if you're not intentional about it.
Yeah.
Your kids are headed towards disorder and chaos if you're not serious about discipling them intentionally. Your own life is headed towards chaos and disorder if you're not intentional. Like, we have to be so serious about being intentional. And that means for me and those that I have an opportunity to disciple, that means you probably need to break your day up into hour-long segments, maybe minute-long segments for a time, and just go, hey, I'm just going to be intentional about what I'm doing for the next 60 minutes. Like, what do I have on the calendar? I have these couple things this 60-minute period. Am I being intentional in this 60 minutes about my relationship with the Lord? Am I being intentional in this 60 minutes about my pursuit and relationship with and of my spouse? What about my kids? Am I being a man of integrity in my business in this next 60 minutes? Like, can I just get through this 60 minutes and be able to look back and go, God, I lived this 60 minutes the best of my ability for your glory? That takes an insane amount of intentionality and disciplining yourself to be intentional. And there aren't very many people that actually take the time to discipline themselves to be that intentional. But it's that kind of intentionality that we see Jesus Christ walking around planet Earth with during his ministry. Mm-hmm. He didn't do ever anything where someone suggested it and he was like, yeah, I guess I don't have anything better to do. That never happened in his 3-year ministry that we see in his life. And we know it didn't happen way earlier than that, because even when his parents took him to Jerusalem, there was when he was 12, there was intentionality in right. what he was doing. And so this is the example of Christ. And every one of the other four that I said only happens if we train ourselves to be intentional.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I wanted to have like something a little less esoteric, but I thought, man, if there's one thing I would go back and train myself in as a young man that would have avoided so many of the pitfalls I fell in over the last 30 years, it would be, you need to figure out how to be intentional instead of just bumping with whatever emotion you're feeling or thing you're feeling or, you know, any of that. Learn to be intentional in everything that yep. you do. And if we can do that, man, we can live a successful life.
Yep, that's great. All right, those are the things that a couple old people have learned over the years.
That's right. You're old. Okay, thank you.
I'm not the one with gray hair, babe.
So, thank you. No, it's not.
You have it everywhere.
Okay. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us. I hope that there were some things you took away from this. Feel free to put in the comments how 40 isn't actually that old. Do not put in the comments how old 40 makes you feel, because you're 25. But thank you so much for watching our video. Thanks for paying attention to Marriage by Design, being part of the community. We so appreciate you being here. Have a great week, and remember, God is for your marriage.